Thank you. It is a privilege to be here with you. I'm surprised y'all came. Did you know it's Christmas? So thank you. Thank you for joining us tonight. And my prayer has been that this time together will be encouraging to you and that each of us will walk away in awe of our Creator. So I'm just going to tell you up front, that's been my prayer. That's my desire for us together. So the first slide I have up there, I just love, because as you think about Christmas and you think about your own family, you probably will have the opportunity to see that whole uniqueness thing played out in the way they open gifts, right? So one will be ripping through them before another one has even started. No doubt one of them will have probably just about destroyed their gifts while the other one is neatly stacking them and folding the paper, right? So I just feel like Christmas is even an opportunity to see how unique our kids are. So even with a little bit of observation, we conclude that God designed each of our kids very uniquely. And tonight we want to focus a little bit on how to better live in sync. What would be really nice is if we could live in sync with our kids, right? And that may or may not happen on any given day, but the bigger picture is we want to live in sync with what God is doing in the lives of our kids. So that's what we especially want to focus on tonight, is God's purposes. So we are going to explore some practical ways of understanding and embracing God's work in the lives of our kids. So I got to thinking about this. It really shouldn't surprise us that we are made in the image of God, and therefore we are unique. Because I thought back to this verse that talks about, "Hear, O Israel, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one." Now, a lot of times we think of that in terms of the Trinity, right? Or in terms of, you know, three persons in the Trinity, but we also think of there's one God, not multiple gods, right? But it also means one in terms of totally different. God is in a class of his own. There is none like him. There's a verse from 2 Samuel, it's also repeated in Kings, and similar verse in Chronicles that says, "You are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you." So when we think about being created in the image of God, we realize that a big part of that is that there is none like us. There's none like your child, right? They're one of a kind. So isn't that fascinating to think about that? That's one of the ways that we're created in God's image. So let's brainstorm for just a minute and think of some broad categories that are unique about people. You can think particularly about your kids. Just general categories. What are some things that cause us to be unique? Oh, I'm sorry. I know it's nighttime. Y'all have had long days. I promise you don't have to think a whole lot after this. Okay. Part of their personality, whether they're introvert, extrovert. What else? Okay. What type of person they are in terms of the time of day. What'd you say, Kim? Their athletic ability is great variation, right? What else?
Male and female.
Male and female. We don't like to sex stereotype, but there are some definite, we all know that. There's some definite differences. Mm-hmm. What else?
Even just their genetics and the way that they look. Their hair and their eyes, their coloring and stature and all those things.
Absolutely. Just think about physical appearance. How about their experiences? No two people have the exact same experiences. Their intellectual ability, their habits, their passions, humor. You have one kid that laughs at something and the other one that looks at them like, what's wrong with you? That's not funny, you know? So our tastes are different. Our very DNA is different. I was thinking about, when I was doing some reading on this, even, do you realize the microbiome of our gut is unique? It's down to that specific. But the DNA, I think about fingerprints. The recent calculation of the population of the world, does anybody know what it is recently? 8 billion, right? It passed 8 billion. Can you imagine 8 billion different fingerprints? I hope that just puts us all in awe of God. So I can't help but think of what David writes in a psalm that many of you are probably familiar with. In Psalm 139, when he talks about you formed my inward parts, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Those words, formed, knit together, intricately woven, skillfully made, it's like embroidery with a design. This, we have been exquisitely composed. Not haphazard, not happenstance, but God's omnipotent handiwork. And so I just join him in saying, I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Would somebody like to read this out loud, this version of it? I thought was just really fascinating.
I can.
Thank you.
Oh, yes. You shaped me first inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. Thank you, my God. You're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit. How I was sculpted from nothing into something.
So all those idiosyncrasies about your kids that we feel like are designed to drive us crazy sometimes, they actually have a purpose, right? It's part of God's divine design. And I just happened to be reading this in, this is a very old copy of My Utmost for His Highest. And so it's a little bit of old language because it's an older version of it, but I read this about personality, and I'm just going to read this one little paragraph because I think it says beautifully. It's something that's been on my mind. The verse that it comes from is that they may be one even as we are one. So that's Jesus talking about his relationship with the Father. Personality is that peculiar, incalculable thing that is meant when we speak of ourselves as distinct from everyone else. Our personality is always too big for us to grasp. An island in the sea may be but the top of a great mountain. Personality is like an island. We know nothing about the great depths underneath. Consequently, we cannot estimate ourselves. We begin by thinking that we can, but we come to realize that there is only one being who understands us, and that is our Creator. So that is kind of my disclaimer as we start this huge topic of talking about personality and understanding our kids, because we admit from the beginning, like, only God really understands us, only God really understands our kids, but we can ask him to reveal what we need to know in order to parent our kids well. So a couple of things I want us to think about as we get started. Just a couple of tips to keep in mind as we get into this tonight. And one is to focus on the goal. And the goal is being in sync with God, okay? Sometimes we just want our child to quit procrastinating homework, or we want them to make some friends. But really, what we're trying to understand is how God has designed our child and how to cooperate with the work that he's doing in their lives. And towards that end, another thing that we want to keep in mind is that God has created them with both strengths and weaknesses, just as he's created us with strengths and weaknesses. And what's the whole point? Well, when there are strengths, we praise God, right? When there are weaknesses, we depend on him. So when our child does well on a math test, we can say, let's thank God. God made you so that you're really good at math. Let's thank him for that. When they're struggling with math, we say, you know, that's okay, because we're going to ask God to help you. And isn't that great training for life, of learning to praise God for the things that he's given us that go well and that are easy, and to trust him for the things that are hard. So we want to keep that in mind as we go through this evening too. And then I find this one helpful. Don't confuse sin with personality, because it would be very easy to say, oh, my child is melancholy. That's just the way they are, okay? And maybe that it would be easy to excuse their complaining or whining, but that's just their personality. Or she's just shy, and so it's hard for her to speak up and say thank you. You know, we don't want to excuse behavior just because we think it's part of their personality. And along that line, too, let me just say, as we look at this together tonight, is because we're going to look at some personality types in general, we want to be careful that we don't pigeonhole a child, because we don't want to be self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, we begin to expect something. Oh, they're always that way. And so then we begin to expect that behavior of a child. So all of that just to try and help us get a little perspective here as we get started. I am going to skip over this part tonight and just go on to the next part. Okay, so how many of you are familiar with the DISC personality profile? Is anybody, some of you are familiar with it? Okay, so when my kids were about the same stage of life that many of yours are, I was exposed through some teaching about this that it just was so helpful to me as another lens to look through in understanding our kids. So I'm going to share a little bit of that with you tonight. And there are two aspects that we want to look at. The first one is pace. And this does not have to do with living in Northern Virginia, okay? Because if we talked about that, we'd all be living at a fast pace, right? But as you think, and I hope you're going to be thinking about yourself and also your kids as we go through this, but our pace has to do with our internal motor, like how we're just sort of naturally wired. Are they fast-paced or slow-paced? I'm going to tell you, I remember my dad, as I was following him out the sidewalk, going to church, and him very tenderly saying to me, "Come on, molasses." So what do you think my internal motor is? So, you know, what comes most naturally? Does your child process things pretty quickly? It's hard for them to slow down? Or are they more methodical and take their time? So that's one aspect that we're going to look at. The other one is priority, and this has to do with natural preference, what is most motivating to your child. Are they more motivated by tasks or by people? And I can tell you, as moms, we can examine this too, because I want you to think about, if your kid is sick, are you going crazy because you got to be home and you can't be with friends? Or are you thinking, oh, they're going to take a nap, I can get something done. And maybe a little bit of both. But think about what comes most naturally, okay? So let's put those together, and we're going to look at it on this grid. And are we able to put the slides online?
Yeah.
We can do that, right? Okay. So I know you have a place to take notes, and I meant to say that up front. You know, do what works for you. If you want to just sit and listen, you are welcome to do that. If you want to look at this later, and if there's any problem with getting online, I'm glad to email it to you. But we're going to look at these in four different combinations. Again, I'm going to say, we are not trying to decide, oh, this is what my child is. This is just a lens to give us a little bit more information, help us look at our kids in through one other means. So children that are fast-paced, but more task-oriented, we're going to call those determined kids. Okay, and I'm going to go into each of these in a little bit more detail in a minute. I just want to give you the overview first. Fast-paced, but more people-oriented, we're going to call influencing. Okay? And then the next one is soft-hearted, which means that that type of personality is more slow-paced, but very people-oriented. And the last one then is going to be conscientious. This is the careful person who is task-oriented and a little more slow-paced. So let's take a look at each of those in a little bit more detail. There is a book that I found when our kids were younger, and I checked. It's actually still available on Amazon, and it's called The Treasure Tree, and it actually goes through personality types, and it uses an animal character to go with each one. And I remember reading it with one of our kids and him saying, I think I'm, and he was identifying as we were going through which animal he could relate to. So that's probably more on the younger end for a lot of your kids, but I found this book really helpful, so I just thought I'd pass it along. So let's talk about the first quadrant that we talked about that was fast-paced and more task-oriented, okay? And as parents, we would say that's a more directive style of parenting. So what's going to be helpful to you as you're looking at this is thinking about your own parenting style, too, and how that interacts with your kids. And for kids, these are our determined kids. So I have a picture of a line. That's not a negative thing, okay? None of these are either positive or negative. That's just the way we're designed, right? So let's look a little bit at what determined kids look like and see if this looks familiar to some of you. These are kids that are very confident. These are the ones who usually are giving directions on the playground, right? They've come up with a plan. They would actually like to tell the teacher how the teacher ought to be teaching because they've kind of got it figured out. And these are our natural leaders, all right? So what do they need? Let's talk a little bit about what they especially need. They don't have any trouble making decisions, all right? But they're going to need activity because remember that internal motor is going pretty fast. So these are the kids that need someone to give them something positive to do where they can take charge and lead in a way that's appropriate. So you're going on a trip. This is the child that you say, okay, you figure out how many hours, how are we going to divide up the snacks, and you're in charge of passing out the snacks at the right times, okay? So they have something that they're in charge of, okay? But they also might have trouble learning to follow. So let's say they're having a friend over to play, and you might say, okay, I know you usually pick the game that you're going to play. Let's let your friend pick this time. So they need some help and training in that. That doesn't necessarily come naturally, learning how to follow. And a lot of times it's hard for them to relax. So you might have to help them plan how to slow down and how to just enjoy things a little bit and how to be a little bit more compassionate. Empathy might not come as naturally to them because remember, they're task-oriented, right? So being attentive to people might be a little bit more challenging. So what about as parents? Directive parents, when it's in this extreme, it looks autocratic, okay? Because more directive parents are used to being in control. They really don't have time to slow down and explain things. You just need to do what they just said to do, right? So sometimes if that's our parenting style, it means that we need to slow down a little bit. And if we're task-oriented, what are we going to have to do? Well, on the flip side, we have to be a little bit more attentive to relationships because that might not come as naturally. And sometimes we don't even realize that we're wrong because we're too busy just getting through everything, right? So I'm going to tell you what I think probably one of the most common phrases for this type of parenting. Just do it. And why? Because I said so. And there are times that all of us have to do that, right? So we're not talking about the exceptions. We're talking about patterns that we're watching for. So let's look at the interactive parents and influencing kids. This is the otter, right? This is the party waiting to happen. So what are they like? Very, very social. I remember our daughter, when she was probably 2.5, the doorbell rang, and she went flying down the stairs yelling, "Friends!" Now, it could have been an axe murderer on the other side of the door. If it had been a thief, she would have welcomed them and invited them to her tea party or something. You know, this is the mentality of a person who's highly interactive. You know what they collect? They collect friends, okay? And they usually help other people connect with each other because it's all about relationships. My daughter used to get in trouble because she would plan some sort of a circus in the backyard, and her friends really thought that was going to happen because, you know, I don't know how she was planning on making that happen, but, you know, there's always a plan, and it's always something fun, and everybody's going to have a good time, right? So they're very eager to please. Those of you who know my husband will recognize this is his personality style. What did he get in trouble for in school all the time? Talking, right? Okay, he does it for a living now. It's great, you know? So these are not positive, negative things. It's just a matter of letting God use them, right? And bringing these under the control of the Holy Spirit. So what do we have to be careful about with these kids, particularly not being critical in front of other people? Why? They care so much about other people's opinion. So on the flip side of that, too, then we have to help them with peer pressure because they're going to be more susceptible to peer pressure because they're so concerned about people's opinion. Need lots of affection. They thrive on encouragement. I mean, all kids do. We know that. But particularly kids that are very people-oriented. So what about the interactive parents? In the extreme, they're very permissive. Why would they be permissive? They're ready to have a party, too. Right. And, you know, like, they don't want anybody to be upset with them. They want their kids to be friends. Okay, again, all of us would probably like that to some extent, but this is very motivational to a person who's highly interactive. So some things that interactive parents have to be attentive to is to be the parent. and when communicating limits, you know, this is where this style of parenting often says, okay, I want you to do that. Okay. You know, they almost ask permission of their kids. And we've all gotten in that habit sometimes. But there's a tendency to that. Why? Because they want to make sure that everybody's happy with them, right? So in the extreme, oh, and focus on listening well because we're so busy talking when we're interactive parents. But just have a good time. You know, that is kind of the goal. Just have a good time. So I remember when my husband and I was leading youth ministry, he would assess the evening by whether or not everybody had a good time. How do you think I assessed the evening? If we got through the agenda, you know? Yeah. So we kind of balanced each other out. But this is an interactive parent wants to make sure everybody's having a good time. Okay, I just have to say, every time I see this picture of this dog, I just want this dog. Isn't this the epitome of a supportive parent and a soft-hearted kid, the golden retriever? So these kids are steadfast, they're loyal. I remember our second son, one of his brothers said, does your friend Josh, does he have trouble speaking? Does he have like a speech impediment? And our son jumped across the table and grabbed him by the throat. I mean, we were just all shocked because this is our soft-hearted, calm son. But somebody had said something about one of his friends, and that was not okay. So you can see that kind of loyalty. This is also, these are the team players. This same child, I remember watching him play soccer. He had no idea what the score was because somebody had gotten hurt. So what do you think that child's doing? You know, they're just worried about the kid that got hurt. Like, who cares about what the score is? You know, it's all about relationship. And slow-paced, so they have a hard time making decisions usually, but they love to serve. You know, I always think everybody deserves one of these kids in their family because they tell you how wonderful you are. Yeah. You know, this is the child who says, I remember him saying it when he was little, this was our son Drew, you're such so a good mom. Yeah. And I mean, even as an adult, he's still telling me what a good job I'm doing on things. It's like everybody needs one of those in their life, right? So change is hard, you know, it's inevitable, but they might need a little more time to prepare for change. Making decisions, like I said, is hard. Probably need some support with that. And because relationship is so important and they are so loyal, you know, some kids, you can change plans on them and it's like, that's okay, Mom, I get it. These kids, you're going to have to sit down and explain how much you wanted to be able to follow through with that, and that it's painful for you because this is going to just really throw them. Well, what about supportive parents? They're very accommodating. This is the mom who always brings the child's lunch to school because she cannot stand the thought of them going without lunch. So what do they have to do? They have to be a little more decisive and stick to the rules they've developed. That doesn't come naturally. And keep your own emotional tank full because we're tempted to draw that from our kids and to take that from them. I just remember a mom recently who kind of fits into this style of parenting more naturally, and she's working on setting some limits, and they already had one dog and her child wanted another one. And I was like, don't cave, stick with what you said. They came up with a great solution. The grandmother got another dog instead of her. So what does the supportive parent, what's their typical phrase? Can't everybody just get along, right? That's what's most important to them. Okay, our last category that we're going to look at is careful parents and conscientious kids. This is the beaver, the hardworking beaver. And this child tends to set very high standards. You can see how a lot of this interplays with birth order, right? Male, female. I mean, there's so many factors, aren't there? So you can see why I'm saying this is just I'm hoping this is a catalyst just to think through your kids and to understand them a little better. Absolutely. You know, this is helpful in any relationship, right? I mean, it just helps us be in tune with the fact that we're all made uniquely, and we have to work at understanding where another person's coming from. Yeah, thank you for saying that. So the characteristics of the conscientious kid, very high standard. They're attentive to details. They're the ones whose shoes are all in a line in the closet. They love checklists, you know. They like getting homework done. It probably feels good to be getting it done. It bugs them if something's not finished. Mm-hmm. But remember, they're slow-paced. So very analytical, very cautious, and they need help being tolerant of imperfection. So it's very helpful with these kids to and on ourselves, and we fit this category, to focus on who they are and not just what they're doing, because they're going to be so focused on their performance. So we talk about character qualities and how that's even maybe reflected in their performance. Need lots of time for making decisions. Before you go to the restaurant, tell them ahead of time what the choices are, because otherwise you might be there all night with them trying to guess what would be the best thing. And carefully bring them out of their shell. They're so task-oriented, they may need some help with socializing. That might not come as naturally. You might have to actually teach them a little bit about how to do that. What's the corrective parent in the extreme? They're perfectionists. Want everything just right. My daughter, I have a couple of these areas where I tend, depending on the circumstances, and this one can come more naturally to me. I like things planned. I'm detail-oriented. My daughter still remembers the time that I woke up and said, "You're not going to school, we're going skiing." Now, she remembers that because it was probably so out of character for me. But I remember having to put the words play dollhouse on my to-do list because just letting go of the stuff that needs to get done didn't come as naturally, right? So, you know, I had to work that into my routine. Like, yeah, just stop working and sit down and play. Because this personality type tends to be very detail-oriented, they can ask a lot of questions. And so it helps to be attentive to that, not asking too many questions, not enough that it drives everybody crazy. What's your favorite phrase? Just be careful. So our kids would be going out the door, and Steve would be saying, "Have a great time," and I'd say, "Just be careful." So I guess we kind of balance each other. So there is a book that was written, and I took some of this, a few of the ideas from this. It's written by Charlie Boyd, who actually came to Emmanuel many years ago and spoke on some parenting things. And it's called Different Children, Different Needs. And what it does is it takes different personality types in combination with parenting types. So child and parent in different combinations. I found it really, really helpful to me. So I'll just pass that along in case that's a helpful tool to you. So let me just wrap up with this. You know, as we think about it, only Jesus has the balance of all personality types, right? And he is the only one that we are trying to model. And so the big challenge for all of us is asking him to reveal to us our strengths and weaknesses and how we can align those through the Holy Spirit with who he is, and then cooperate with his desire to do that in the lives of our kids. The great news is, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have the Holy Spirit. And that is going to equip you to be the parent you need to be. So even as you're studying your child, let me just say, this is what we need to study the most. Why? Let's back it up a minute. What do you need most in parenting? What are some of the things that you need? You need wisdom. Wouldn't you say that as a parent, that is like what we keep going to him for. I need wisdom. I need wisdom to understand myself, to understand my child, to understand the circumstances, to understand their relationships with other people. We need wisdom. Where do you get wisdom?
The word.
Right. And if you think about that verse, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. How do we grow in our awe of God? We get to know him, right? So there are times that you're going to open your Bible and there's going to be a verse that is going to give you just the insight that you need for that situation. But I have found more often than not, just spending time in God's word, spending time talking to him, it's formulating my thinking in a way that lines up with him, and then his Holy Spirit works through that. And there's so many times I have been praying for one of my kids and God brought an idea to mind. Some new insight, just what I needed, okay? So that's my greatest encouragement to you. Whatever books and resources you use, however you use some of this information to help you understand your kids more, it is staying in God's word that helps us to develop a fear of the Lord, an awe of him that then informs how we parent. And I find these words so reassuring. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And isn't that what we want our kids to learn? As you know, whatever it is they're struggling with, God's grace is going to be sufficient for them. Wherever they're experiencing success, we want them to learn to give God the credit for that too, right? So thank you all for your attentiveness. And if I can encourage you in any way or answer any questions afterwards, I'll be glad to. But let me just pray for you all. Father, thank you that you are everything that we need. Thank you for these moms, for their love for you. For their love for their kids. I'm just thinking of how unique each family represented here is. And you have chosen the sex of each child, the timing of their birth, just the exact combination. You have placed them in this time in history in very specific school situations with siblings and friends that are all part of your design. And Lord, we want to cooperate with the work that you're doing in the lives of our kids. So would you encourage these moms tonight, Lord, as they trust you to have a clearer understanding of their kids and how they can come alongside the work that you're doing in the lives of their children. In Jesus' name, amen.